The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton from the SDR Show. Great episode this week. Rock and roll royalty, metal royalty. Charlie Benante from Anthrax comes on the show. And remember, we're doing the show twice a week, every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Usually one in the studio, one through Zoom. Sometimes that might switch, but we just want you to be a fan of the show. Spread it around. Spread the love. Use the code SDR if you're going to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Get a 20% off and 7-day free trial on the network. And you could have heard this 5 days earlier. That's what happens. We do it, then it comes out 5 days later with commercials. But before we get into the show, if you like the SDR show and you want to have amazing sex, we want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, the Promescent Delay Spray, that's been used by over a million men and is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. So it takes the edge off, it lowers the sensitivity, so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. Just better sex guaranteed, no pesky subscription required. It's easy to use, it helps you last longer, and it gives you more confidence. What more could you ask for? So just go to promescent.com, that's promescent.com. There is not even a promo code, it don't matter. You have a 60-day money-back guarantee. You could feel confident, you can know you last longer. You want to have a little more excitement, look and feel more manly, you go to promescent.com. That's what you should do, and do it now. But right now, even more important, it is the Charlie Benante episode of The SDR.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone fuck the hoe. It's weed, I beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's far, you need to know.
It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again, it is James Mattern in a Beastie Boys t-shirt, trying to look cool.
Yo, man, I'm always trying to be cool. I hit it about 90% of the time, baby.
I think you have more swagger than I do with the hat and the cool t-shirts. You definitely look like you've got a look. I don't have a look. You have a look.
Well, you have talent, Ralph. I have to make up for things. You come here, you're very prepared, you ask great questions, you could be in the Rock and Roll 60 Minutes, and I'm just a chooch who...
Yeah, but now you're putting way too much fucking pressure on me. I don't like that at all. We have Shannon, of course, in the Gas Digital Studios. Your hair looks more blue than usual. I don't know why that is, Shannon.
It's just what's in front at the moment. They're all in there, though. I'm trying to match James. James and I match, red shirt and blue.
That's cute. Look at you two. Are you dating?
We're going to Sadie Hawkins.
Yeah. All right, so now... Here's the story with this dude. I have become, I don't want to say friends, but sort of friends with other people in his band, the main band. I know Frank pretty well, and Scott's done the show a million times. I used to have a radio show called The Tour Bus that they were on a billion times, and I was the host of both the Motorhead Cruise and the Shiprock Cruise, and I think you've been on at least a couple of those over the years. Somehow, we've never really sat down and talked at all. It is Charlie Benante, not only the drummer of Anthrax, but a brand new album we'll talk about as well. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hello.
By the way, CB iPad, which is the name that's showing up, it just sounds far more technical than when you realize, oh, Charlie Benante's iPad. I get it. I thought it was some sort of disease or something.
I didn't know it showed up like that. CB iPad. I like that.
Yeah, it makes you sound very, cool. I don't know why. Again, I'm very focused on trying to be cool right now. On a completely side note, for no reason to bring this up, I just came back from the dentist and got a very clean bill of health because I switched to an electric toothbrush, and I'm going to tell everybody, switch to a fucking electric toothbrush. Holy shit, what a difference that makes. I usually get for a cleaning 3 times a year, but because of fucking COVID, I didn't go for a year and change, and they said, oh my God, your teeth look great, so get an electric toothbrush. I don't even have one that sponsors the show, but there you go.
Yeah, they work well.
Do you use one, Charlie?
Yes, I love it.
Yeah, what a difference. It really cleans your mouth. It's nuts. Okay, so let's get right into it. Let's start with the most
metal.
Very metal, talking about my teeth and my oral hygiene. The album is called Silver Linings, and the reason behind the name is very obvious once you start delving into it, which was this was all recorded during the shitstorm that was COVID. You're on lockdown, you're miserable, as we all were, and you started looking for some outlet, and it was your girlfriend, Carla, that kind of inspired this. Is that a fair assessment?
That's perfect. Yeah, keep going.
All right, well, let me ask you this. So Carla is the is from Butcher Babies, right? First yes. question would be, because they were on the Motorhead cruise, as were you. Did you meet then, or you were already dating at that point?
No, we met prior to that. We met at a we were doing a Knotfest show in California, mm-hmm. and her band had covered one of our older songs, well, from a different band, and whatever, we just met and traded emails, and then we're both artists, and then we discovered that we both liked the same exact stuff, and I was like, wow, I didn't know this, and she's like, I didn't know this either, but that's how it happened. And then we were just talking, and yeah, and then one day it's like I was in LA doing a record, and it was the last day there, and I emailed her and I said, hey, you want to meet for coffee or something? And she said, well, maybe not coffee, but I have to go to the art store and get some supplies. You want to come? And I said, I love art stores. And that's how it happened.
Well, and even if you didn't love art stores, if that hot girl Carly from the Butcher Baby says art, you're like, yeah, of course, art stores, of course. I mean, and what an in to say, oh, by the way, yeah, you covered my band song. It's not a hard leap from there to try and have a spark with someone. I think it's pretty cool. The Butcher Baby, great band, so heavy. On Motorhead, on the Motorhead cruise, I had said to them in an interview that they were not fans of. I said, it's difficult for me to watch your shows because I can't headbang and masturbate at the same time. And they were not a fan of that comment. And I thought it was funny. I stick by it.
Yeah, Charlie's going to plead the fifth.
Well, right. Look.
Go ahead.
It's a funny line.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, so now what this album is, it's sort of cover songs, but not really. And the reason why I say not really, I mean, Corey Glover singing on Funny Vibe, how could that be a cover song if the actual singer is singing? So it's not really cover. And also, the Billie Eilish one is more of a remix than an actual, like you're playing right. over. So I don't even know how you, and DMC is singing on the Run DMC medley. So again, while there are some that are genuinely cover songs, they're not, and it's just a great lineup. And just kind of get into how this all happened, because it is a fascinating story.
It basically happened from you described it earlier as me kind of being miserable and just mm-hmm. kind of like dealing with this pandemic, like all of us were dealing with, and just the uncertainty of what was going on. We weren't getting answers to questions. It just felt like the country was just like whoosh, going down the fucking drain. And mm-hmm. I remember watching what was going on in Europe and especially Italy and feeling so bad for those people, you know, because it wasn't me, you right. know, and then what happened, it was us. So Carla actually said to me, you got to shut the news off. You got to get off your phone, man, because it's really bringing you down. And I did that. So this was around the time that Neil Peart had passed away. It was about mm-hmm. a month or two, and it was still on my mind. So all of that was just really depressing me. And I called up two friends, Alex Skolnick from Testament and Ra Diaz from Suicidal. And I said, you want to do a song here with me, you know, a Rush song? And they were like, yeah, let's do it. So I put together this track, and we tried to do it as live as possible. And so the first one you see, which I think was YYZ, is pretty much, you know, bam, let's just do this and put it out there. People love it. The response was amazing, and it made me feel good again. It made them feel good, and it made the people watching it feel good. And then it just evolved.
Right. And then at some point you had to decide, okay, why don't we just get a bunch of people together and do covers? Or whatever you want to, you know, again, not really covers, but there had to be some sort of inception of not writing new music. Let's just have fun. Let's play our favorite tracks, maybe some tracks people don't know. Like, I'm sure most people never expected you to do a Massive Attack cover.
No, I know. That was out of left field for some people, but for me, it's like one of my favorite records. But yeah, I mean, there were some challenges. Of course, the Run DMC one, it was an arrangement that I had in my head. And, you know, I asked those specific people to be a part of it, especially D, because, you know, he's just so cool. And he's like one of my favorite MCs of all time. Those Run DMC songs are like timeless. So when you see me playing that song, that was actually how it went down. So I had to trigger the next parts that were coming in this arrangement. So Ra was, of course, asked to do it again. And then I asked our old bandmate, Rob Caggiano, to be a part of it. And Rob completely just ripped it up. And yeah, it's one of my favorite tracks off the record.
By the way, so Rob and DMC have been on the show. And with DMC, the first time he came on the show, we just told his whole great life story. And the second time, we decided to have a rap battle in front of him. And he decided who was least terrible. Not who was better, because we're not going to be good, but who was going to be least terrible. And I lost that one. But the thing I'm going to give you a little bit of shit for, because I think you're completely wrong on this. There is no way the dude from Massive Attack is Banksy. I am sorry. But you're wrong.
Okay.
Wow.
He believes that. I read that somewhere that you really believe that. Do you have any further insight into that, or you just, it's your gut instinct?
Well, certain things coincide with certain releases, which makes it even more, you know, I'm not going to say obvious, but I'm actually going to a Banksy exhibit here next month. And if I see any Massive Attack stuff, I will call you and say,
please,
I told
do.
You.
Please. Hey, by the way, nothing I like more than being proven wrong. So if you get me, that'd be awesome. Now, because there's such a an interesting diversity of music on here, like the question, like how did Billie Eilish's cover end up on the record? Obviously, some of the rock songs make sense. The DMC song makes sense, you know? But how the fuck did you decide, let's just remix a Billie Eilish tune?
Okay, so the answer is pretty simple. I would take my daughter to school back and forth. She would always play music in the car that she wants to hear. About 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, she would play this song in the car called Ocean Eyes by Billie Eilish. And I was like, I like this song. Who is this? And she told me who it was. I'm like, how old is she? And it just was, it was a good thing. You know, I love that your kids can kind of influence you and inspire you now. So yeah, she would play songs. And then about a year or two later, she released this other song called Bad Guy. She would play it in the car. And I just thought it was brilliant. You know, I love the vocals. I love the melody. I love the beat. And then that was one of the songs that I chose to do because I felt I could kind of metal it up a bit.
Was there a point where you thought maybe we'll get someone to sing it? And then not? Like, how did that transition? Did you try it a couple times with a singer? You know what I mean?
Well, I had ideas of putting a certain vocalist on it, but I don't know. It just didn't sound right. So I just sampled that and put it on there.
Yeah, because Carla nails the Massive Attack vocals. That she did great with. So at any point, did you try and say, why don't you try this? Or you didn't even think about it?
No, I didn't, because she already had done the Tom Petty song and then she did the Massive Attack. And I felt like I put her to hell on the Massive Attack song. So I didn't want to go there again. So, you know, I pushed her out of the comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
One too many times. And I was still trying to have a relationship. So, you know, hey.
That's fair enough. How many songs did you record that didn't make the record?
About five.
Okay, and are they plans for those to come out in any other capacity, or they're just for maybe Silver Linings 2 when COVID's completely over?
Maybe, but the Rush songs are not on the album because it was always my intention to put it out as a separate EP, which that will come out for Record Store Day in November.
Oh, that's cool. That's nice. A stupid tech question. How do you, and maybe it's not, I don't even know if this is common knowledge, but there is an inherent delay with Zoom. That if you're recording with people, I know there's some high-end options that you can do, But is there, did you have to toy with figuring out, because it's you, a lot of them are done through Zoom. How did you to figure that out? Were they done separately and you put it together?
So basically the first two of them were done in that kind of Zoom way-ish. Mm-hmm. But then the problem was a lot of people, maybe their internet is not so great. So there was a glitch here, you mm-hmm. know, so it's like, well, we can't do that. So basically what I started to do is laying down the basic framework of the song. And then I would put down the basic track and then send it off to everybody. And then that's how we would do it. And then they would, you know, do a video.
All right. So then you just mix the video in post, so to speak.
Yes.
There we go. Because I was really wondering that, because there's a friend who has built these high-end solution for bands to be able to record remotely with no delay. But it's like the quote that I got for it, because we were looking for possibly use it for the network. It was like $100,000 per station. So who the fuck is doing that? You know, like who has that kind of time and money to spend? If you have four people, it's going to be almost $500,000. How the fuck are you doing that? So the logical answer is just everyone recorded separately. There you go. You just saved $500,000.
Yeah. I mean, how could you do that? You spend all that money and then you're still counting on your Wi-Fi.
Right, right. No, but it was a separate, like that package included your own separate T3 line, like a separate line that would come in. So it was just, but it was a crazy, I don't know who the fuck was doing it. You know, who on earth would have the money to do that?
Bill Gates,
yeah. Maybe if Bill Gates and, I forgot their names, but the rest of the billionaires decided to start a band together, they could do it that way.
What a super band. Elon Musk on vocals, of course. Come
Jeff
on,
Bezos
guys.
On drums.
Yeah, the Koch brothers of the rhythm section. Let's go, everybody. This is a band that needs to happen.
Right.
Wow. So does Bill Gates plays in the band, or is he the accountant?
I think, let's see what he does. Maybe he'll throw him down, see what happens.
He's going to go old school. He's going to play vibes. That's what he's going to be.
By the way, what I learned, which is crazy, like when you think about how the pandemic affects people, right, and what did you do during the pandemic? I started running because I didn't want to be a fat slob anymore. So that was my thing. What does Charlie do? He teaches himself fucking piano. Was that something that you felt you had an aptitude for already, or you had tinkled with before? Or you started from zero.
We have a piano in the house that my daughter plays. And I just said, all right, I'm going to teach myself how to play piano. And that's what I did. But of course, since then, I forgot how to play piano.
So maybe you didn't really you taught yourself some basics, or was there a point where you were like, oh, this is actually good?
Oh, I'm awesome. I mean, I would go there and I just crack, you know, the knuckles and everything, and I'd start playing. And then, but that was last year. This year I don't play piano.
No. So you're done with that. That's funny. That was short lived. Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
No, I'm joking. Of course. Yes. I want to continue playing piano, but I find it extremely challenging. Like guitar comes easy, bass comes easy, drums comes easy, stuff like that. But piano, it's not easy.
With drums, because I had a friend in college, and I may have told the story on the show, but he was like, we were like 18, 19 in college, right? And there was an open mic night somewhere. And the dude just said to me, you know, I feel like I could play the drums. And I've known him for years, so I knew he didn't know how to play the drum, but we were drunk. And he's like, fuck it, it's open mic. And he went up, and I'm not saying he was great, but he could actually kind of play the drums. He just kind of saw it and was able to mimic it, and then became a drummer and still is a drummer to this day. Like, that was the day he discovered, I want to be a drummer, and just did it. Were you someone that was naturally had an aptitude for drumming, or did you have to really work at it?
No, I just came out playing. That's basically, you know, the doctors hit me and then I was just like, you know,
quick paradiddle back.
Quick paradiddle. I was crying in time. So it was just in me.
That's pretty wild. I like that idea. That'd be fun. All right, before we go any further, if you're listening to the show and you're an auto mechanic or a super cool do-it-yourself guy who likes to work on cars, then I want to tell you about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best prices. It is your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. No more do you need to go online forever trying to find one part here, one part there. Maybe you go to a store, they don't have what you want, you got to deal with annoying salesmen. None of that anymore. RockAuto.com has been in business for 20 years. They make it easy to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. At RockAuto.com, you find it easily, whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or just some dude working on your own car. Everyone has access to the same incredible pricing at rockauto.com. If you're a car guy, go there right now, rockauto.com. Check out all the parts available. You will be amazed and have so much fun looking at your favorite car parts. Once again, go to rockauto.com. They're so confident in their prices, they don't even give you a promo code. That's how sure they are that you're going to keep coming back. Just let them know when you make that order that you heard about them at the SDR show. That's rockauto.com. Tell them you heard about them from the SDR show. All right, let's get back into it. There was something I read online that at one point you were debating if you were even going to release this, that maybe you're just recording this for yourself, for your inner peace, and fucked everyone else. But what was the catalyst that said, you know what, I want the world to hear this?
Oh, too many people were writing me about it. And it was never my intention to put it out. And then everybody kept asking. And then I said, okay. But I, you know, and then, of course, once you do that, you open yourself to other people who are like, I can't believe you're not putting this out on CD, you know? Right. And it's like, well, the CD market is not what it used to be. Then I got to get into this whole conversation with, and it's like, we're just doing vinyl and we're going to do it as a download. And that's it. That's all it was. And of course, what happens with COVID, the vinyl is delayed.
Right. You can never make everyone happy. That's the bottom line.
Never.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but it is true. There's also something I read that there's a Mr. Bungle cover on there, right? And you changed the lyric to... That was live somewhere else that you did that, where you changed the lyric to...
I didn't put those on the record.
Okay, but that's just crazy.
Mr. Bungle covered one of our... a band called SOD. Mr. Bungle covered one of those songs, and they put it out, but I didn't put it on this.
Okay, fair enough. I read that wrong. I apologize.
No, it's fine.
Look at me, everybody. I apologize.
They also screwed up on the, it was Corey Glover, not Corey Taylor.
Like it said Corey Taylor? I didn't know that. That's funny. That's
the
funny.
The earlier press release said Corey Taylor. So I had to call up Corey and say, dude, you're not on this.
James, I could tell you have a question. James, you're leaning forward.
No. I'm just really fired up about all this. And also, Charlie, your room is like my inner head. It really is. So people who are just listening to this, he's got Funko Pops, which I feel like I have to remind myself at 43, it's okay to have them. And he has a big goddamn picture of the Joker, which just...
I've been trying to figure out what are the things at the bottom of the Funko Pop that's also behind them look like cassette tapes or something? Or I don't know.
They're markers.
Oh, markers. Okay, oh, yeah. From the angle. Okay,
they look like old school porno tapes. Charlie, I ain't got a front, man. It kind of looked like what you'd get back in the mid-90s from like Tower Video and shit.
It's all home videos.
That's dope, too.
It's all home videos of him and Carly that he can't share on the internet. It's just sex.
Can't do that.
It's a Patrick Bateman shit, man. I got to return some videotapes.
I read online that you're such a huge Jaws fan. I thought I'd see at least a little mini Jaws behind you or something. Nothing? Oh, now you're thinking where it is. Oh, look at James coming.
Look at me, baby.
Look at that.
Come on, Bubba. Play the goddamn music, Shannon. I'm going to eat the... Come on, let's go.
I really like that one, James. That's cool. Look at, he's got the jaw.
It's a bottle opener. But it's a bottle opener. I mean, dude, I can't stop this stuff. Billy Butcher. I don't know if you guys are into
The boys. A friend of mine was in the series. She got her head blown up in the beginning of the second episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she played the Butcher's ex, you know?
Yeah,
her head was blown up at the beginning of the second episode of the first episode of the second season, whatever.
I love that. I love that series.
Yeah, great. My online boyfriend, the guy from Supernatural, is going to be in the next season. What's his name again, Shannon? Jensen Ackles. That's it. It's Jensen Ackles. He's going to be I forget his name from the comics, but he's going to be in one of the superheroes in season three. He's already filming.
Oh, wow. I guess I'll stop watching.
You talk bad about my boyfriend, Jensen Ackles. I will come over there and punch you in the mouth. Your girlfriend already shit on me on my podcast. I can't have it from both of you.
No, this is just jokes.
I know. I'm well aware, sir.
I put too much pressure on you today, Ralph. I'm sorry, buddy. I fucked this all up. I'll take the blame.
I do like where.
Look at him. Come on. Is he not adorable? What's wrong with you?
Oh, that guy. I thought you meant the other guy.
You better back the fuck up, Charlie. I don't give a shit. I don't care if you're a legend.
I'm joking. So do you know any storyline?
No, I don't yet. Of the new season, I do not.
Yeah, let's do some spoilers. Let's fucking go.
It's like, I wish they would stop making superhero movies and just let them make The Boys. That's it.
Just focus on that, nothing else.
I hate superhero movies.
All of them? Really?
I'm not a big fan of the superhero movies. I like reading them.
Okay, you like the comics, but you don't like that it's bastardized into mainstream entertainment.
I mean, I like some of them, but I'm so sick of this fucking pose that they make every superhero do whenever they land. Yeah. Boom.
Right.
And it's like, and then they look up and it's like, first of all, the enemy can see you coming down. And by the time you land and lift your fucking head up, you're dead.
Are we really going to get into reality physics in superhero movies? Is that what you want to talk about? I mean, it's weird where your suspension of disbelief would be.
Well, you brought it up because your friend is a superhero guy.
He's not a friend. He's my online boyfriend. You better watch it.
So it's reality. No, but okay. Anyway, next.
Okay, sorry to get off topic. So anyway, to put a little button on this one, so Silver Linings, the album is out. You could buy the vinyl, and then it's streaming online. The weird question always when you're doing things like this that is super groupy, so to speak. So many great people are on there. You mentioned already Ra from Suicidal and Carly, your girlfriend. Frank Bello's on there from your day job. Anthrax is at DMC. Snake from Skid Row. All these people are on there. Imagine it takes off. You can't really do anything with this record. You can't do a tour of any kind, even if the world was open. How would you pull it off? You can't.
No, you can't. But we actually talked about possibly going out and doing some of the Rush songs,
mm-hmm.
like with that configuration. That's doable. But there's no way I could do like the Massive Attack song. I would need, you know, seven, right. eight more people to do it. But the song with Snake and Frank, we could pull that one off.
But you'd have to figure out how you're going to get these people to go on tour with you if you were going to do it. But I guess you get a core group together and have maybe one-off people show up here and there.
Yeah, but I would love to do that. I think that would be a lot of fun to try and pull that whole record off with the Rush songs too.
And then what I read online, because besides you learning to play piano and evident by you pulling out the markers, is that COVID got you back into your art side more than you've been in a while.
Correct.
And there's going to be some sort of, is there an art book or something that you're out in?
There is a book that Punk Rock and Paintbrush has put out. It's a big coffee table book with all the artists that are associated with them. And Carl and I are featured in the book as well. We did an art show here in Chicago back in March, which was a lot of fun. And I think we're going to do one in New York in August.
That's cool. I would be there for that. I'll tell you that. I have another bone to pick with you. Okay, ready? You have a coffee line out, and the coffee's called Benate's Blend, right?
Yeah.
Why not spreading the caffeine? That's funny.
Ooh, that's good.
That just makes sense.
I am going to do another blend another blend of a coffee. Maybe that'll be a good title for it.
Spreading the caffeine. It writes itself, my friend. I couldn't believe it.
It does.
I got very angry.
I feel so stupid now that I didn't think of that.
Your fastball.
You can have it, sir. It's yours to take. You can have it. I don't want anything.
Thank you.
No worries.
I'll send you the bag.
Send me a bag of it. That's all I need. Send me a bag of it. I'll be happy to know because I'll have it in my heart that I helped create that. That's fine with me.
Done. I love
all right,
it.
Good. So now also a big year besides the Silver Linings album. It is the 40th anniversary of one of the big four, one of the legendary, most legendary metal bands on the planet. Obviously, Anthrax. I'm not going to say I watched all of them, but you did release a 7-episode YouTube story about the 40 years of Anthrax, which was fascinating to watch. It really was amazing. When putting that together, it's always funny when you take, you know, a 40-year history and you cram it into just a few minutes of it, you're like, holy shit, all of that did happen. When you're redoing all this, was it like, oh my God, look at all this fucking shit that we accomplished in this?
I was learning about, you know, relearning about things that I had totally forgotten about because I was just telling this to someone else, you know, when life is moving at such a fast pace, it's hard to grasp at some of those things. So you may have this amazing thing that happened on Tuesday, but then Friday came along and that Friday thing was so amazing that you forget about the Tuesday thing, kind of like Trump. So
I get it. I like it. Shannon's a big Trump supporter though. That's not true. I'm kidding. Continue.
That's cool. That's cool. So am I, actually. I love The Apprentice, one of my favorite shows. So what I was saying is, once we started to do these interviews and talk about stuff, and you start to remember things that you kind of put away, and it was really fun to see everybody else tell their version of the story too, you know?
Right.
And it's like, yeah, it's a history of the band that I lived through, you know? So it's awesome. When I would watch it, I'd get kind of emotional at times with certain things because it's like, I remember that, you know, I was there, you know, I was 21, 22 when that happened.
That's right. It's crazy. And I, as a native Brooklynite, you know, born in Brooklyn, I, you know, grew up around the mythos that is Anthrax. I was actually at, at the time they called it Rocketeeria, but Danceteria, when you guys were looking for your new singer, I was at that event, which is, I don't know how many fucking years ago now, because I used to help run Rock and Roll Church Limelight on Sunday nights. I was one of the promoters and the DJ in the chapel. So I was a part of that universe. And it's just amazing to see, you know, these are the guys. It's fucking crazy that all these years later, I mean, you had to never dream, oh yeah, I'm 20 something and 40 years later, we're going to be doing a big fucking anniversary tour. Just crazy to think about.
Oh, it's crazy to think about that. It's not quite 40 years for me, but it's
right. You started later, but that's fine. I mean, yeah. I'm going to allow it. I'm going to allow the poetic licensing. It's Anthrax's 40 years. It's yours, like 37 or something. 36.
I'm just going to check with Standards and Practices. They say it's okay.
Okay.
I'm
thank good. God. Thank God.
But it's funny. You mentioned the Limelight. If I wasn't on tour, I'd be at the Limelight on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, so I was a DJ in the chapel in the back room, right? And forget the year, but it was 2 years I was a DJ there every Sunday. And that was the epicenter of rock and roll at the time. Like if you were in a rock band and you were 50 miles within Limelight, you went to Limelight on a Sunday night. There is nothing like that ever again, I don't think.
No, there was a scene there and it was so cool. I mean, sometimes I would show up there at like 2 a.m. and then I remember one night, we stayed until it was done. And then we went to the place right around the corner to get something to eat. And Gary Oldman was in there. That's and cool. He was just sitting at the counter by himself. And Gary Oldman is one of the greatest actors of all time. He could play Sid Vicious. He could play fucking Dracula. The guy is amazing. And just went over to say hi to him. He was so nice and so cool. And, I wonder what he was doing at that time, though. Why he was in New York, you know?
Yeah, maybe he just left the Anthrax show at Limelight. Who knows?
You know what? Could be.
Yeah. It's funny. When I was DJing there, the manager said he would consider it a failure for us if they closed before 5 a.m. because they wanted it to be so busy all the time. And I would sometimes DJ till 6, 6:30 in the morning. It was crazy back then. You can't do that now.
Yes, no, James? You can't do that now.
I'm just impressed because I like grew up in Vegas where nothing shut down. And then I come here and hear stories how people would start at like noon and stop 3 days later at fucking clubs in New York. It's just
but the difference is I never did any drugs. That's the thing that's crazy about it. I've never did any drugs. I was staying up till 6 a.m. I was high on just, you know, rock and roll, baby. Look at Janet's face. Oh, look how much she wants to punch me. All right, before we go any further, these guys, they get it. They've been a sponsor of the show forever. They sponsor Skankfest, and they just sponsor this style of comedy. Super cool dudes. You know who we're talking about. It is Yo Kratom. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo, the world's best value in Kratom, shipped directly to your door, no questions asked. If you've never heard of Kratom before, you don't even need to listen to this anymore. Hit that little fast-forward button. But if because you're not who we're talking to. Not important. But if you do love Kratom, you want to go to YoKratom. YoKratom.com. They celebrate your freedom. They're the home of the $60 kilo, which is unheard of. Sometimes you'll pay $120, $180 for a kilo, but here you're getting high-quality curated Kratom at wholesale prices. It's YoKratom.com. You know the home of the $60 kilo. It's solid. It's easy to use. It shows up quick, And everyone that likes Kratom loves YoKratom.com. So head over to YoKratom.com today and get yourself a $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into it.
So the last Anthrax album is I think, almost 5 years ago, if not more. I saw online that you guys had started working on a new record, and then the pandemic and everything got put on hold. Are you going to pick that up again? Is you just going to take a break? Like, what's the plan, or you can't talk about it?
I was told not to talk about it yet, but we are picking it back up.
Mm-hmm. And the idea is to, you're going to record a new album at some point, I guess.
Oh yeah. But we didn't want to do it in this, you know, this year of
the anniversary.
Why do it? We couldn't go out and, you know, promote it or perform it. So, you know, why do it? So that's basically, you know, the long and short of it.
The one thing in that maybe this is common knowledge. I'm not going to say that I'm a Anthrax historian, but I did not know that originally on I'm the Man, the Beastie Boys were supposed to record it, and then they couldn't do it or dropped out. I don't know the exact story. And then you guys said, well, fuck it, we'll do it. Is that public knowledge? I don't even know.
It's public knowledge. I mean, we had a lot of friends at Def Jam, and the Beastie Boys were originally going to do it. And then they happened to have a record that took off like pretty big. So they were kind of busy and they couldn't do our little song. It would have been great if they would have done it. But so what we did was kind of channel them and we did it, and it turned out fine.
You know, I never asked this song to Scott or Frank over the years, but I'm going to ask you, the line, "I'm so bad, I should be in detention," was in Easy Money. Is that where you got it from?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. All right, that's funny. Because I knew the song before I saw the movie, and I always, but obviously now looking it up, the movie came out years before, but I assume they stole it from Anthrax when I saw the movie as a kid.
There were certain movies that we would play on the bus. They would be like on loop. So Easy Money was one, of course, Goodfellas, Jaws, all these movies. And you could just recite lines like constantly. And Easy Money was one of those movies. There's so many great lines. The actor Taylor Negron plays that character, and he's yelling up to Allison, I'm the man, like a Cyrano de Bergerac type of thing. His friend is behind the bushes telling him what to say. And we just thought that was the funniest thing, and it got put in the movie, in the song.
Great, there's a great time for Rodney Dangerfield. Easy Money, Back to School, great fucking movie with him. Oh my God, so funny.
Dude, he's fucking awesome.
I've still been trying to do a triple Lindy my whole life, never been able to pull it off.
Yeah.
I made the promise to myself by August, boys, triple Lindy.
Please let me know when. I'm going to be courtside on that one.
Pool and side. I want to make this announcement. I was going to hold it, but when I hit the triple Lindy is when I'm going to come out as Banksy. So everyone can fucking relax.
The massive attack jig is going to be up. That sucks.
Oh,
yeah, awesome. The jig is up, my boys. It's all over.
And now,
So I'll see you in July at the exhibit.
I'm going to send 8 people. I'm going to send all these red herrings and shit. I'm going to send nothing but people in Massive Attack shirts. I'm going to fuck with your head still, dog.
Massive Attack be playing in the background at the art exhibit just to fuck with people's heads.
And I'm going to have all the Massive Attack guys do superhero poses just to really play games with you, man. I'm playing head games. I'm playing chess. I'm playing go.
This would be awesome. Just bring some shredders, too, and just shred everything.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Why not? Also, by the way, a lot of people don't realize that that's that Massive Attack song, by the way, not to go back to it, was the theme from that TV show House, which is where a lot of people first heard that song. But obviously that album is years before that, and it's a fucking great record. Were you a fan of that whole trip hoppy vibe of Tricky and what is the other one with the P? Oh, shit.
Portishead.
Yeah, and all that stuff?
Yep. I loved all that stuff. When we were on tour in the UK and Europe back then, our A&R person at the label gave me an advance of the Massive Attack record, and I listened to it throughout the whole tour, and I was just like blown away, because that record from start to finish is a masterpiece.
That's great. Yeah. I loved a lot of that stuff from that era. And a lot of those songs from those different artists, like Thievery Corporation, all that era, have worked their way into what I can only describe as my fuck songs playlist.
What an elegant way of putting it, that Ralph.
How else did you want to describe it?
A silver tongue way of doing it.
A silver linings way. Get it? We just worked it back into the plug.
There it is.
But
But now also there, which I read the first story or two, you guys are putting out a graphic novel, or it's put out. It out already. It's out. Sorry. And it tells the story of an Anthrax record. And you guys were involved with it. Is that about, is that fair? Am I fucking the songs from the record?
Okay. So the idea was to put out this graphic novel with each title from the record of the song would be a story, but it doesn't necessarily go
it's
back
not the
to
inspiration
the,
behind how the song
exactly.
started, but it is a story which somehow ties into the song title.
Correct. So we had different writers and artists be a part of it. And, we have like Rob Zombie, Corey Taylor is a part of it, Gerard and Mikey Wade.
Are you sure
Wade.
It's Corey Taylor or is it Corey Glover?
You know what? I think this one's Corey Taylor. Okay. I'm pretty sure of that. And dude, it was just amazing. Like everybody agreed to do it and it turned out better than I thought it would.
Well, that's funny. I read the first story, which is kind of like the creation of the Knot Guy. Like that's kind of like the story behind the first one. And I was wondering who penned this beautiful line. I think the line is "fuck you, you shit stained cunt." That's a beautiful line.
I can't take credit for that. Oh,
too bad. But I thought,
God, you know,
such a beautiful awesome. Shit stained cunt, Shannon. Shit stained cunt. There's kids in the room.
Yeah. Also, I think it's English, like an English guy saying it, so it doesn't really. It's not really that bad.
Yeah, it really comes across on, and when you're reading it on the page, yes, exactly.
And that should be a part of the fuck list playlist or whatever.
Fuck
that
songs.
Was.
Fuck songs song playlist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Leslie, as a fellow New Yorker, the story I read that made me happy is one of the shows you saw Iron Maiden at the Palladium, which I used to be a club promoter for. That's a great moment. I didn't even know they played the Palladium.
Yeah. They opened up for Judas Priest first time in America.
Wow.
With the original singer, Paul Di'Anno. And it was awesome. And of course they headlined there the following year. And
what year was that?
Which one?
The first, the one that you had to play when they were opening.
It was 81.
Wow. Okay. I was a little too young. I was 11 at that time, everybody. Yeah. I'm a little boy at that point. I can't get into that show.
Yeah. we used to have this thing where if we didn't get tickets, there was this guy in the back that we would give money to and he would just sneak us in and he's just like, go, 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 go mingle. And that, you can't do that anymore.
No, none of that shit you could do. The Palladium was such a unique space, and now it's college dorms for NYU. It sickens me. And I don't know if you saw this story. 2 weeks ago, somebody put out an article that Limelight was going to reopen as a nightclub for 1 week. And wow. It got shared like thousands of times. All these people were like, holy fuck, how do we get there? But it turned out it was just it was bullshit. It was never going to happen. But everyone got so excited about it. Broke my heart.
Go figure, something on the internet. Bullshit.
Not being real. No, what but it looked shocker. So real. It looked so real. I mean, I fell for it. So enough people shared it with me that I thought it was real. Now, my last question before we do the first. I read also that you're working on a new thing with Chuck D. Is that true or is that not true? It's not true. God damn it. Twice I'm wrong, James. Twice.
Look, man. Some days it just don't go your day, baby. What are you going to do? Jordan missed a couple layups. What do you want, baby? It just happens.
I don't know why I read that somewhere. I was all excited. It's been a while since you guys worked together. I thought this is cool, but I guess.
Well, not. I'm not going to say no, but I can't really talk about it.
That's so it means that I'm right. Can you at least say that I'm right? At least I'm not a fucking idiot. I did my research.
You're getting warmer.
Okay, there you fair go. Enough. God damn it. All right, there Shannon. We got to hit the first.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show, Charlie, is the Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We asked this question to everybody since the dawn of time, which is their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll. Was the Iron Maiden one your first show? No.
No, David Bowie was my favorite show.
Your first show ever? Mm-hmm. How old were you?
I was young. My cousin took me. I was like maybe 11 or wow. at the time. It was at the Garden. And I remember, I'll never forget it because my mother was like, you better watch him. Don't let him out of your sight. And the funniest thing was we're sitting in our seats. The lights go down and my cousin takes off to go take pictures and just leaves me by myself. And I could hear my mom saying, don't let him out of your sight. So I thought that was pretty funny.
And did you have the wherewithal at that point to know who David Bowie was and you were excited to see him?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. And it was like, I think, I don't know if it was the Diamond Dogs tour or
that's a good one.
Or Station to Station. It could have been Station to Station. Cool. I think it was that one. And then of course it was like a drug that I had to continue this, you know. So Kiss, of course, followed and all that other stuff. And then it was just,
were you already playing drums at that time or no?
Oh yeah.
I mean, I know you were playing out of the womb, but I wasn't if you went professional yet at 11. So
I wasn't professional. I was semi pro at 11.
Okay, fair enough. And now the first drug you ever did, ideally after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug.
My first drug was coffee.
Okay. How about anything that would be in the illegal substance, or is that not something you delve into?
Bear, aspirin, maybe.
Okay, so you've never really done drugs.
I don't like drugs. I don't work well on drugs.
Fair enough.
Let's just say.
Good enough. All right, and then now the first time you had sex.
David Bowie concert. No, I don't. am I rating it or
no? Well, how old were you?
I think I was probably 11 or 12.
Really? Jesus
oh
Christ,
my God.
That's young. Our record, I always forget, Shannon, was how old?
I believe it was 8 years old.
8 years old was the but first.
Not intercourse though.
Well, I mean, it wasn't like you're saying like first sexual experience. Oh yeah, I can't say that was 11 or 12. I thought you meant like, you know.
No, I mean like actual intercourse. It was after that.
Oh yeah, I don't remember.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so let's just,
I like that you're gonna rate it. I like you were like, what do you, all right, it was about a 6.7. Well, tried harder the next time. Well, I put in the work.
Well, because I was younger in the people that I was hanging out with, so they were a bit older than me, so you know, I was put forth into something that I was just like, oh, okay. Anyway, next.
All right, no, that wraps up the three. So the album is Silver Linings is out
three.
Now. Anthrax's 40th anniversary. All that stuff is up on their website as well. Your Instagram, which you put a lot of stuff up with your Chickadoo, is at Char Benante. Really, it looks like you two could not be fucking happier, by the way.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know,
how long
have
you been together?
Since like 2015 ish, around that time.
That's a long time.
But she, last March, she actually moved here. So, it's awesome. You know,
if your house was about to burn down, all the people that matter to you are safe, but you get to grab one of your Funko Pops, only one. Ooh, which one are you grabbing?
I would probably, wow, dude. Why do you do that to me? It's like, I'm looking all around now. It's like, I have a Funko Pop that Linda Blair signed for me.
That's pretty good.
And I would probably grab that and run.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
That's just a game changer.
Great.
That's it.
That's like the Ark of the Covenant. Like a Funko Pop.
Did I forget to plug anything else, Charlie? I'm sorry. Did I nail everything, or is there anything else you want to mention before we wrap this?
No, dude, I'll say this. You guys were like way on top of it. So it's like, I really appreciate this, and it was a lot of fun. So I think I was
wrong 1.5 times, though. So I'll take that. But
I was wrong, too. I was wrong on the Supernatural guy. I was just busting balls.
No, I don't actually, care. You think you're going to upset us? Please.
No. There was a really good episode of Supernatural, the Scooby-Doo one.
That was great. That? It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. Dude, where do you live now? You still live in New York or no?
I live in Chicago.
In Chicago. Okay, let's go around the room and do our plugs. James, your plugs?
Okay, man. The James Madden on the Instagrams, the Commissioner Comedy Podcast about the etiquette and the love of comedy. Peanut Allergy, the number one comedy music track in all of America. Check it out, man. New York Comedy Club Sessions, Peanut Allergy. Look for my new album, Check Spot, where I do question and answer while people pay their bills at a comedy show because I'm fucking crazy. And I'm going to start my new website. I'mreallybanksy.com. You guys should check that shit out. It's going to be a fucking hoot.
If a new Massive Attack record comes out and all the tracks are about Banksy, that would be awesome. All right, Shannon, your plugs.
You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts.
All right. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. And my other podcast on health and wellness comes out every Monday called The Good Sugar Podcast. And tell Frank I said, what's up? He knows me.
Yeah,
maybe he's the only one that does know me. But that's it. Thank you so much. And we'll add a song of the week. Why don't we do this? I really loved the Massive Attack cover from Silver Lining. So we'll do that one at the sdrshow.com/playlist. We'll add it to our playlist. And Charlie, thank you very much, dude.
Thank you guys. I enjoyed this.
Week on the SDR Show. Peace.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.